Our reading for Wednesday, May 20th, is from Acts chapter 24, starting in verse 1. Acts 24, verse 1. And after 5 days, the high priest Ananias came down with some elders and a spokesman, one Tertullus. They laid before the governor their case against Paul. And when he had been summoned, Tertullus began to accuse him, saying, "Since through you we enjoy much peace, and since by your foresight, most excellent Felix, reforms are being made for this nation, in every way and everywhere we accept this with all gratitude. But to detain you no further, I beg in your kindness to hear us briefly. For we have found this man a plague, one who stirs up riots among all the Jews throughout the world and is a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. He even tried to profane the temple, but we seized him. And we would have judged him according to our law, but the chief captain, Lysias, came and with great violence took him out of our hands, commanding his accusers to come before you. By examining him yourself, you will be able to find out from him about everything of which we accuse him." The Jews also joined in the charge, affirming that all these things were so. And when the governor had nodded to him to speak, Paul replied, "Knowing that for many years you have been a judge over this nation, I cheerfully make my defense. You can verify that it is not more than 12 days since I went up to worship in Jerusalem, and they did not find me disputing with anyone or stirring up a crowd, either in the temple or in the synagogues or in the city. Neither can they prove to you what they now bring up against me. But this I confess to you, that according to the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets, having a hope in God, which these men themselves accept, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. So I always take pains to have a clear conscience toward both God and man. Now after several years I came to bring alms to my nation and to present offerings. While I was doing this, they found me purified in the temple without any crowd or tumult. But some Jews from Asia, though they ought to be here before you and to make an accusation, should they have anything against me. Or else let these men themselves say what wrongdoing they found when I stood before the council, other than this one thing that I cried out while standing among them. It is with respect to the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial before you this day." But Felix, having a rather accurate knowledge of the way, put them off, saying, "When Lysias the tribune comes down, I will decide your case." Then he gave orders to the centurion that he should be kept in custody, but have some liberty, and that none of his friends should be prevented from attending to his needs. After some days, Felix came with his wife Drusilla, who was Jewish, and he sent for Paul and heard him speak about faith in Christ Jesus. And as he reasoned about righteousness and self-control and the coming judgment, Felix was alarmed and said, "Go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you." At the same time, he hoped that money would be given him by Paul, so he sent for him often and conversed with him. When 2 years had elapsed, Felix was succeeded by Porcius Festus, and desiring to do the Jews a favor, Felix left Paul in prison. As I mentioned to you in yesterday's reading, this whole situation with Paul is stretching out over several chapters, and so we're really just continuing where we left off yesterday. We left off yesterday with him being taken to Felix the governor, since there was a plot to kill Paul when he was going to be presented to the council. So the tribune has him brought to Felix, and that's what we're reading here in chapter 24. So it took 5 days for the high priest to arrive. They come with a spokesman, Tertullus, and they lay out their case against Paul. And what can they accuse him of? What can they really accuse him of? The only thing they can accuse him of is what they themselves were guilty of. So it says that everywhere he went throughout the whole world, that he was stirring up riots among the Jews. Let me ask you, think back to all the other passages that we've read. Who was stirring up riots? Was it Paul? Or was it these other Jews and in one case, the smiths that were making things for idols? It was not Paul that was ever stirring up a riot. In fact, the only case in which we can say that anything that Paul said caused any sort of outburst, if you will, was when he was standing before the council and he pitched the Pharisees against the Sadducees and vice versa. So this is what they say, is that he's causing all of these riots, that they found him to be a plague, and that he is a ringleader of the sect of the Nazarenes. Now, it's very important that they called him part of a sect of the Nazarenes. Paul is a Jew by birth. He has accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ. He has become a Christian. And by calling it a sect of the Nazarenes, they are trying to say that they fall under their rule and their authority as high priest over the Jews, which they do not. Their high priest is Jesus Christ. There was no high priest of the Jews that had any authority over them. So they are trying to present to Felix that they have authority in this situation by calling it a sect. Then they say that he even tried to profane the temple, but they seized him. In other words, he was going to, but they stopped him. So what crime did he commit? No, he didn't commit any crime. Even if there was something else coming that they supposedly stopped him from, which is not true, but even if they're saying that he didn't actually commit the crime, that they prevented him from committing it, well, if you don't commit a crime, can you be judged according to a crime? Well, no, you can't. So they're making a pretty flimsy argument, which is why I think they kind of puff Felix up. They talk about how great a leader he is and how much he's been doing for them and how gracious they are toward him for these things. And then they begin their accusations. And they brought the right people with them so that they would be yes men. They would nod their heads and say, yes, these things are so. We witnessed it. We know of it, etc. So Paul replies. And he pays a compliment to Felix when he says, for many years you have been a judge over this nation and I cheerfully make my defense. He's basically saying, you know, I have some comfort in making my defense to you. I feel like you would be a good person to try to judge in this matter. So he's paying him a compliment, but he's not overdoing it like the Jews were in order to ingratiate himself. And he says, you can verify. In other words, if you ask around, if you start finding out, you can find that it's only been 12 days since he went to worship in Jerusalem. During that time, they did not find him disputing with anybody. He never stirred up any crowds, neither in the temple nor in the synagogues. He says, neither can they prove to you what they now bring up against me. Well, they brought their yes men so that they'd have the two or three witnesses. But what he's saying is, if you actually go and ask around, no one else would corroborate these things. So he says, I confess to you that according to the way, which they call a sect, I worship the God of our fathers, believing everything laid down by the law and written in the prophets. Well, why does he make that statement? Well, he absolutely does believe it, because it was all pointing to Christ. There was nothing else to say about it. It was a tutor to bring us to Christ. And so he says that through the law and the written in the prophets, he has a hope in God, which those men accept as well, that there will be a resurrection of both the just and the unjust. That's not at issue, and they're not at odds with each other over that type of a doctrinal point. But verse 16 says, I take pains to have a clear conscience toward both God and men. And after several years, I came to bring alms to my nation. He's not a Jew under the Jewish religion anymore. So he states this very correctly, I bring alms to my nation. And while I was doing this, they found me purified in the temple. He went ahead and went through purification rituals in order to appease the Jews. But it did not work because they stirred up a crowd anyway. It says that some Jews, even from Asia, that they should be there, but they are not. Basically, he's saying, look, if I had been a problem all over the world, then people from these other areas should have been brought in to corroborate that as well. And they're not there. They have no accusation against him. And he says, the only thing that I have done is when I told them it is with respect to the resurrection of the dead that I am on trial. But it says, verse 22, Felix had a rather accurate knowledge of the way. In other words, he knew about Jesus Christ. And he puts him off and says, I'll wait to hear from Lysias to hear what he has to add to this. He tells the centurion, keep Paul in custody, but allow his friends to get there. Now, I'm going to insert a little bit of history here. At this time, prisons were different. They're not like they are today, where if we have somebody that's in prison, then the government has a responsibility to take care of their needs, you know, provide them with food and clothing, etc., while they're in prison. While they might receive some food in prison at this time, they were very much dependent on friends bringing things for them to really have their needs met. Felix is saying, don't keep his friends from attending to his needs. Then when his wife is there, they ask for Paul, and Paul talks to them, preaches the gospel to them. Felix is alarmed. Now, Felix would not be alarmed if he did not believe the things that he was hearing from Paul. He was alarmed and said, go away for the present. When I get an opportunity, I will summon you. He's alarmed. He believes some of these things. However, he falls back on his position as a politician. It says he hoped that money would be given to him by Paul. Maybe that's so he'd have some sort of an excuse to let him go under their own traditions or what have you, or he just desired to have the money in general. But we all know that Paul was not a rich man. And at certain times, he even had to work as a tent maker in order to provide for his needs and be able to continue to travel and preach the gospel. So he didn't have this kind of money. Maybe some brethren might have put together some money if they knew that it was needed in order to get him out, but that was not done. And so it says 2 years went by with him calling for him often and conversing with him. And Felix's term was over. He is replaced. And it says, desiring to do the Jews a favor, he falls back again on that politician. Felix leaves him in prison. And that's where we end up in chapter 24. Tomorrow we'll get into chapter 25 and continue looking at what happened with Paul's imprisonment. So please come back tomorrow. And I also ask that you continue in prayer that God may be with us all.